Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Hey. Sir Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
We get it.
Oh, yeah. It's time, people. I know what time it is.
Yeah, my bad. I couldn't do my part in the show. I was blowing my nose.
Yeah.
Woo.
Y'all know what time it is, people.
Let's
Talking
go.
Talking sports with the 12th minute. Kicking off. Again, just wanted to welcome you. I can't be yelling some in the hotel room, so I'm going to be a little bit less loud because I'm going to get a knock on the door. But again, welcome to Thursday edition.
You're in the penthouse. You do what you want.
I'm in the penthouse.
I've done the show from plenty of hotel rooms, Andre. You'll be all right.
I can't be yelling. I know, right? Again. As we have fun in this. That's true, too. I don't get in trouble. I'm trying to get in trouble twice. It is Thursday.
No.
We're getting off of the Super Bowl high, and I'm hanging out with some fellows that I wouldn't trade at the deadline for anything, man, even though I'm tempted to trade Rob, but again, I'm going to let him stick around for a while longer, too. So, man.
Hey, we might be able to get a low second round pick for him. You never know.
That's cool, Gary.
Maybe some cash considerations.
I
don't
know. I want to be on the team.
I'm worth a lottery pick, man. You're gonna get a lottery pick for me, dude.
You're gonna get a six round pick for him, something like that. Oh, okay. Anyway,
wow.
We're having a good time though. We're just messing around. But, again, let's get this party started. We know that JQ is a little under the weather. And like my man JQ, I'm definitely going to be hopefully get the show right within the hour so we can get this party started, get some rest and all that fun stuff too. So, again, JQ, you got enough in you to kind of give a quick intro to the show and everything like that, sir?
Oh, yeah, man, I'm good. You know, I make sure I took my medicine before we got on here. I get my big vapor rub for my nose before I go to sleep. I'll be good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. All right, so we'll keep this nice and short and concise if we can, too. We've got a lot of things to recap. Rob Ford, how you feeling, bro?
Man, doing great. Ready to get this party started.
Good deal. Curtis and Gary, I know I'm so excited to hear what Curtis had to say about his Super Bowl run, so we'll get him going as well. So stay tuned, fellas. We'll get you guys let you guys lead off. But, as we always like to do, let's throw the numbers out to the show. I know Curtis is ready to roll. But really quickly, let's throw the numbers to the show. That's always the same numbers, the 424-243-9519. Again, 424-243-9519. Follow us. Follow you men. Follow you boys. 12th Man Sports on Twitter, at the number 12, T-H. MAN Sports, and last but not least, we are on Facebook, facebook.com/12thmansports, or Talking Sports with the 12th Man as well. So without further ado, I know we want to definitely talk about what happened over the weekend with Super Bowl. Curtis kind of gave me a quick little snippet. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about Dane's, Lillard's incredible run. So Curtis and Gary, you guys start the show off with all that fun stuff too. So the floor is yours, gentlemen.
I want to start off with You got to fight for your right to party. Come get him, Gary.
Wow.
Let's go.
That's a UC boy right there, Travis Kelce, stand up.
Yeah, that's right. I'll tell you what, Curtis kept in touch with me while he was down there for these Super Bowl events, and Curtis, you want to recap that a little bit, or you want me to go ahead and go into this historic time with Dame?
Yeah, I'll recap, and you go give him the Dame time. Six-time All-Star, big time news. But I'm going to say the one thing that happened to me, I found my price. I go over three websites. I go over Vivid Seats, SeatGeek, and StubHub. All these thickest prices, they had anywhere between a $1,700 and a $2,400 surcharge to every single ticket they were trying to sell.
Pocket change for Curtis.
And I you know, those were blowing me away. I was willing to go $6,500 on a ticket to the Super Bowl. The lowest I could find on that day was $7,200. It had a $1,900 surcharge on it.
Wow.
That I talked to some of my tech friends. I can't see why any company would need $2,400, $1,700 on an electronic transfer on a ticket. It is greed. It is wrong, and they wasn't catering to the little guy. They absolutely wasn't. They were only catering to the rich football fan. And, you know, there's the discussion about how the Super Bowls will go and what that's about for the NFL and the people that are trying to be fans of the NFL. And they lock you up on these Super Bowls. That is just, you know, greed. And I think it's not so much the NFL, it's the ticket companies and their greed. And it's rampant and it's terrible. But that weekend down there was so fantastic. Ludacris threw a party. Gronk threw a party. You had Kanye West preaching on the beach. He's going to do a sermon and bless all you people down there.
Wow. Videotape some of that. Please tell me you videotape some of that.
I'm going to try to send you guys some pictures of being down on the Herd Show on the beach. Now, one of the things I found out, my hands are a little shaky, so I don't really get good pictures, but I had somebody take good pictures for me. We got good pictures of Strahan, and we got good pictures of that Herd Show down
on
the beach.
Yeah, you had Lola taking the pictures.
To all of us. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you guys, this happened to the rideshare companies. They say they had a designated place for the rideshare companies. But the rideshare companies apparently didn't know about it. And it was so packed and so busy down at Hard Rock Stadium that people were stranded for 2 and 3 hours in the 3 and 4 in the morning to get a rideshare car out of the Super Bowl.
Wow.
Another thing that happened down there, the 8 biggest cruise ships in the world, the 8 biggest cruise ships in the world were docked in Miami.
Wow.
It was tremendous, and I had a ton of fun. And
that's good.
I wouldn't have traded for anything in the world, but I had my limit at $6,500. I couldn't get it, so I didn't go to the game. So I ended up in a dive bar in Coral Gables. With chicken wings and beer, and it was cool. The other thing,
you want food with the mama
pizza
down there, were you, Curtis?
Man, it was something. But football fans, this is my statement. You know, after the game, and everybody was like, "Man, what a good game! What a good game! What a good game!" And my reaction to that was, you know why this was a good game?
No
because
Patriots.
They didn't have the New England Patriots in it.
We knew where you were going with that one.
No, yeah, nobody fought me on that. Everybody agreed with me on that. I had nobody argue with me on that. We didn't have the New England Patriots in it. This was a great football game. Gary.
All right. Great recap, Curtis. I've heard it, but I love hearing it again. You know, this six-game run that Dame went on was historic. You know, the three other people that have gone on runs like this are the late Kobe, James Harden, and Wilt Chamberlain, and now Damian, averaging this type. But none of those guys averaged 10 assists in those runs, high-scoring runs like that. You know, in that six-game, Dame averaged 48.8 points, 10.2 assists, and 7.2 rebounds per game. Phenomenal. You know, he scored in six games, he scored 293 points, 62 assists, and he contributed with his assists and points he scored over 500 points in the six games.
He got robbed.
It was absolutely, absolutely remarkable. The guy
he got robbed
just,
player of the month.
Yeah.
Yep, he did. He did. He got robbed for player of the month. But, you know, that's the breaks. That's the way that sometimes these things go. But to be, you know, and also Damian, you know, he's had, he's in the top 10 now of 50-point games in NBA history. He's got 9 50-plus point games in his career. So, you know, he's doing his thing, and every year, he's getting better. If you look at his stats, every single year he's been in the league, he's improved. And he's just he's one of those special players in the league. Plays in a small market up here in Portland. We love him. And I just want to say congratulations to Damian Lillard and this special run. And, you know, it caught the media's eye. The shots that he took were just remarkable. I mean, he shot 55% from the field, and I watched him go right at, you know, Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis blocked him a few times, but he went body for body with that big guy and went right up and went around him, dunked on that center they got down there in L.A., that McGee slammed it on him, and he shot shooting 57% from the three-point line. And he wasn't hugging that line on almost everything. Almost everything was out by the logos. I mean, just remarkable. I'm kind of curious to see how he's going to do in that three-point competition for the All-Star game. That ought to be a good one. I wish Steph was in there, though. I'd like to see those two guys go at it.
Gary, if you didn't know, Dame Time is going to perform on the mic All-Star Weekend. He's going to do his little rap thing in the All-Star Weekend Chicago.
Yes, he is.
Awesome.
Yeah, he destroyed my Lakers in that Kobe tribute game. He just went nuts. I was watching that game like, good Lord, they cannot stay in front of Dame right now, because CJ was a little off, but Dame just said, you know, get on my back. And, you know, I'm doing this for me and Kobe. It was – you know, I wanted the Lakers to win it, but, I mean, he was just ridiculous to watch in that game. They had no answer for him. I mean, they were double-teaming him at one point, just trapping him to get the ball out of his hand. He was so on fire. That was an out-of-this-world kind of performance by him. I watched that. That was crazy.
Well, that was a Mamba. That was a couple of my Laker fans, friends up here, you know, they said that was Mamba-like, and I said, well, it was in points, but not in assists. Game that would have
stop it. See, we were doing good. We were doing good, and then you went to that. See,
oh,
he
man.
Went to that.
All right, we're moving on. I'd like to apologize for that, you know.
It's all good.
Hey, I will say this, though. I thought that that tribute that they had down there was first class. It was done beautifully. I didn't give Portland a 10% chance in this game. I really didn't before they played, because I thought between, you know, Anthony Davis, you know, and who's that other guy they've got? They got Anthony Davis. They got one more guy that's kind of good.
All right, we're going to talk about Iguodala and the Heat.
I thought they were going to just roll over Portland. So I was very proud that they went down there and was competitive and won the game.
Dame
Lillard, almost 49 points a game in that six-game span. I mean, that is incredible. I mean, that's the third best scoring run over a six-game span in the last 20 years. And then you talk about the 10 assists and the 7 rebounds. And the most insane stat from those six games, 55% from the three-point line. That is insane. I mean, you got guys who hang around the rim all game long and don't have a high percentage like that. You're talking about 55% from the three-point line in that six-game stretch. To me, that's the most insane stat out of all the stats. I mean, you talk about 49 points for games, too. But the 55% from three-point line is just flat-out insane. That's incredible.
Yes, it is. I gave him a lot of credit. Dame is a hell of a player.
Nice. All right, we got everything
all
on
right.
our system. Are we good to go? We ready to talk about
Alonzo? Yeah, we're good to go. Let's move it.
All right, so we got to talk about a lot. Guys, this is probably one of the busier NBA trade deadlines. A lot of moves happening. 12 player trades happening between a couple teams. My Hawks are involved. Cleveland. A lot of things to recap here. So let's keep this moving here. And let's talk about the Heat. Are they a contender in the East with a pretty big move securing Andre Iguodala? Well, I just saw a veteran. I guess he wasn't playing that much in Memphis. And Miami, they've been doing some things. They got Tyler Hero. They got some really obviously Jimmy Butler. I think this is a great move. I'll kick it off to Rob. And Rob, kick us off, bro. Then we'll pass around the room as well as we do. So Rob, JQ, and back to West Coast. So go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, you know, right now Miami's in fourth in the Eastern Conference. They're 34-16. They're only a game behind the Celtics for the three spot. They're only 2.5 games behind the Raptors. I mean, obviously, they're a good ways away from the Bucks. I mean, you have to think that this can help this ball club, you know, and I don't know what kind of shape Andre Iguodala is in. I don't know what kind of shape he's in from being out all of this time, but when you talk about a veteran guy who's great on the defensive end, who can help you on the offensive end also in the pinch as well, I mean, you have to think that that kind of veteran player with championship exposure could really help that ball club. But how much can he help them? I don't think they'll be better than Milwaukee. And the way Toronto was playing, even without, you know, this is a team I thought it was going to take a step down after Kawhi Leonard is gone. But the way they're playing, how many games have they won in a row now, Toronto?
It's 11 or 12, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's 11 12, games. 12
games.
Yeah, I mean, they're playing insane right now. And at some point, I don't know, well, I mean, we're going to talk about the Sixers in a bit, but, you know, where are they all in this mix here? But I have to think that that's a piece that's going to really help them to, I think they at least make it to the second round in the Eastern Conference this year, this Miami Heat team. I'm still not going to think they're going to, I don't think they're going to win the East ball, but I definitely think this Iguodala piece is definitely going to be another chess piece for them here in the playoffs. I think they make it to the Eastern Conference semifinals. But I don't see him going past that far. I just can't see them getting past Milwaukee. And I think somebody else in the Eastern Conference is going to rise up, whether that's Toronto, Boston, or
Boston,
Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I'm going to give them a chance to go to the – I'm going to say they make it to the Eastern Conference semis with this addition.
They got to get out of that fourth spot because you hit it on the head. You do not want to play Milwaukee in the semifinals. But, you know, one thing about – Spoelstra and Pat Riley, them boys are going to play defense. And you look at their roster, you know, we talk about Bam also being a first-time All-Star.
Bam's great, along with
Duke Butler here now. So, I mean, they are really, you know, kind of put a lot of wings on there. And defensive-minded players, too. And Hero, not so much, but he can still shoot the rock. I like, you know, Jimmy Butler's a bit of an a-hole, and I think everybody knows that. But you kind of need that dude, especially in the playoffs. They're gonna be a team that you don't necessarily want to see in that second round. And other teams ain't gonna talk about it, but they're gonna look around and say, you know, we definitely don't want to play Milwaukee for all everything Rob just said, and I agree with that. But man, listen, that 2-3 matchup is gonna be insane if they're able to move into it. I don't know if I fully trust Boston quite yet. I feel like, you know, I like Tatum, I like Brown, but you know, I like Kemba for sure. But can they have the staying power to stay in there with the way that Miami is reloading? I was really shocked that Boston didn't do a whole lot in kind of comparison to what Miami did here at the trade deadline. So I'm going to give them a shot. I mean, you got Pat Riley in the building, championship experience. You got Spoelstra, championship experience. You got Jimmy Butler with his mentality. And then you get a veteran with Iguodala, who's – no, he's not, you know, a superstar. And I think people are kind of blowing it out of proportion that he's going to come in and start dropping 25 on people. Like, that's not going to happen. But his veteran leadership and his defense and his ability to rally guys around, I think is a very important pickup. And that's why a lot of teams were trying to get him. So I give them a puncher's chance to make it to the Eastern Conference Final if they don't get into the 4 seed. I like what Miami is doing. Nobody gave them a lot of credit, you know, coming into the season, but they're showing and proving.
Yeah, yep. Another very underrated player on that roster, Kendrick Nunn, the guy that's came out of nowhere this year.
Yes.
Underrated player, a good scorer. You know, he's giving them about 16 to 20 points a night. So he's another piece on that basketball team. And that's really – they don't really ask him to do a lot, but he can really score the basketball for that basketball team.
Microwave.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Yep. Bringing it back. Curtis, Gary?
Gary.
Well, okay. Well, on this one, I would say yes. I would say to me, it kind of reminds me of how the teams in the East this year are bunched up. Kind of reminds me of how the teams were bunched up in the West last year. It's just going to – Like you guys have said, it's going to depend on who they play, how things match up. But, yeah, I mean, I think that was a good pickup for them. I think that it will, you know, give them that veteran leadership that they need. They've got a smart organization that, you know, that's been there and done that. And I think, yes, it does make them a contender. Being a contender doesn't mean you're in the, you know, necessarily in the Eastern Conference Finals. To me, what a contender means is that you're one of those top four teams, and how things match up, you know, anything's, you know, it's possible.
Yeah.
So I don't put them in the Eastern Conference Finals, but I definitely put them in the mix for it, depending on how things shake out.
Nice.
Yep.
Well, I want to say I happen to be down there and caught it on the news or something when they ran. I thought it was Milwaukee. I talked to Gary earlier. He thinks that was Philadelphia. They ran them boys out of the building. Oh,
yes, they did.
What day was that? Was that Saturday or Sunday? One of those days when I was down there, they put a pin a whoop. Oh, it was horrible. Boy, and that opened my eyes a little bit that, you know, what happened? What I'm excited about, though, Milwaukee did not win the Eastern Conference last year. They did not. And the beginning of this of NBA season, I kind of thought that they were the odds-on famous to come out of the East. And by me being down there and seeing that little can of whoop-butt they did on Philadelphia, I'm kind of excited about, I think the East is turning into who's coming out of the
West.
East? The West right now, I think it's LA going to be in the final. I hate to say that. In the West, I think it's over. I think it's LA in the Western Conference Finals. But in the East, there might be five teams that can come out, and that makes it kind of exciting to me. And that's what I found in Miami.
Yep. Good call. All right, we are keeping this moving here. We got a lot of things to talk about here. 35 minutes in, and or sorry, about 35 minutes left. And just to kind of piggyback on what you were talking about to everyone before, especially you, JQ, you know, as far as about your boy Jimmy Butler, and you need that little edge, man, as a player, man. You need something to, you know, he's got that team playing and just that whole attitude. Again, it kind of reminds me back in the older NBA whenever you used to have, like, Xavier McDaniels, like, you know, Charles Oakley-type players that are like, man, you know, you're not just going to come on, you know, you need that kind of, like, special edge too, man. And Jimmy's a great player too, man, so that's really big. We're going to kind of recap a little bit. Yeah, definitely. But he kind of combines that with also playing in the new NBA as well. We're going to talk about the next trade here, recapping the Warriors-Timberwolves. And it's pretty interesting whenever you kind of think about the dynamics of this trade, because first you have a team, the Timberwolves, with Karl Anthony Towns just losing, right? He's just having this massive losing streak. I think it was like 16 games, and he was very disgruntled. So now you turn around and you kind of get this piece, D'Angelo Russell, in that they had to give something for him. I was actually kind of surprised at this, not the fact that trading D'Angelo Russell, but the fact that they got Andrew Wiggins, because, you know, obviously Andrew Wiggins, that ship has sailed with him. I mean, they thought that he was going to be a star. And, again, we've talked about him being really passive. So they did give up, you know, supposedly lied, and obviously they gave up first-round pick. So if you are the Timberwolves, maybe it's desperation mode. Maybe you know in your mind that, Karl Anthony Towns doesn't want to go through another rookie. So they probably was like, hey, we got to shoot our shot. Get a player that at least, again, wants to play with Cat, and then see that too. So I think it's a good trade. Maybe a win-win for both teams as well too. So that's my thoughts. Yeah, as well, yeah. So I'll let Rob kind of comment on that too, and we'll keep this movement here. So go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, I mean, very, very interesting move there. But if you look at it from a Golden State Warriors perspective, and obviously I'm not a Golden State Warriors fan, but this was a really good move for them, and it's really setting them up for next year. And because you're going to get Steph Curry and Klay Thompson back, two of the best shooters in the business, probably two of the best shooters of all time. And so you didn't really have room for those two and D. Russell. And so now you get a wing player in Wiggins. You still got Draymond Green, and you're still going to get a high lottery pick and could possibly be, you know, a top three pick in this draft coming up here.
Yeah.
So if you really look at it, Golden State's really set themselves up to really make another run at this thing here for the next 5 years. Andrew Wiggins is not Kevin Durant by any stretch of the imagination, but I think he's going to be a better fit with Curry and Klay Thompson than I think D. Russell is. So I think this is a really good move for them.
Yeah.
And you still have Draymond Green. You're going to have a high lottery pick. And if you're in a position to still attract some role players on that ball club, because you're right back in being in the business for being the contender again come next season. So if you're looking at this from the Golden State Warriors perspective, this is a really good move for them. And, like I said, they didn't really have a lot of room for all three of those guards. But now you get an athletic wing player, and you can see what Draymond Green whispering in his ear, pushing him, and Steve Kerr with coaching, pushing him. And so, you know, we'll see, you know, if he's got the athletic ability, we can see if they can get him to go to the next level. But I really think it's a good move for Golden State Warriors.
It's interesting. I'm on the fence about it. D'Angelo Russell and Kat are really good friends. And I think they'll be able to push each other. And I think D'Angelo has got more of a mindset to want to be a star more than I think that Andrew Wiggins does, to your point, Dre, of being too passive. But he can afford to be passive in Golden State because he's going to get, like you said, Steph and Klay back and Draymond. But I worry about his mental mindset of, can he handle Draymond telling him, hey, man, you BSing. This is not why we brought you here. You got to push your game to another level. Will he fold under somebody pushing him like that, or will he be able to take his game to another level? I'm still – a little bit. To me, the jury's out on that a little bit. And if you look at his skill set, on one hand, having those shooters out there gives him a lot of flexibility to drive to the lane, because you got to respect those two guys shooting. He's going to get a lot of single coverage. His ability to drive to the bucket and score and show the athleticism will help him. But he's not a really good three-point shooter, and his defense isn't great. And that ties back to, you know, will he be able to necessarily buy in and take more pride on that, at least on the defensive end. I don't know if he's going to ever be a great three-point shooter. Maybe being around those guys helps him get in the gym and elevates his game. who knows? But that's my one caveat about that trade, is will he be able to take the tough love from Draymond, and how will he fit with those other shooters? Will he be able to just rely solely on that drive game on those lanes that they are able to, you know, afford him with Clay and Steph? Or will he go back to, like you said, Dre, being passive and not attacking, and then guys getting on him, and then does he fold or does he soar? So that's what I'm interested to see what happens with Andrew Wiggins when those guys come back.
Nice.
Well, unfortunately, I do agree with Rob, with you. I think it really sets Golden State up for success. I don't like them. Hate them. But that's, you know, right, you know, they're a smart organization, and, you know, they had some players injured, you know, they were able to get something out of a situation in this trade, you know, that is going to benefit them. To what degree, we'll see. We'll see if, like you said, we'll see if we if he can be pushed. But, you know, winning has a way of healing lots of different things like that. And when you've got, you know, the Splash Brothers on the court that are healthy, that's what they know how to do. They know how to win.
Yep.
So with that said, I think it was the move for Golden State was brilliant, I thought. Curtis, what you got?
I want to talk about the Portland fans. There, you know, this was a great day for the NBA trades, and the fans of the Portland Trailblazers are still like, this this team didn't get involved and didn't do enough. And they're looking at Whiteside. They think they can get a lot for Whiteside. But the official mantra coming from the Portland Trailblazers is what they want to do. They believe they're, if they can get everybody they got here healthy, we're talking health, we're talking getting everybody healthy, we're going to be fine.
And there's one other thing about that that's interesting. Even though Wiggins, you know, he's got a little bit of an honorary contract, but he could still be another piece. And we talked about Russell being a piece in terms of moving him come draft time, depending on where that pick is. If they find somebody, another star that's out there that they feel fits better, they say, hey, we can give you Wiggins in this top three pick for a superstar X. They're still in the business to make that happen. So they've left themselves up for a lot more flexibility as well.
Yeah, and that was the whole point of getting D. Russell in that Kevin Durant trade,
mm-hmm.
too, is was to get something in return. And now they were still able to make a move with D. Russell. And to JQ's point, yeah, you're right. I mean, it could be another piece, still could be, to see what they can do for him. But I still think that he's a better fit for what they have going forward long term than what D. Russell is going to bring to the table. I thought D. Russell was just, if Curry could have stayed healthy this year, I think he was could have been a fit for him just this year with Klay Thompson being out. But long term, and obviously if you go to State, you already got to start thinking about long term. And I just think he is a better fit as far as a keeper than D. Russell would have been.
Good call. Yep. So, hey, so should we be concerned about Zion's toe injury, Rob?
Oh, well, he turned out to play a lot of minutes tonight, so I guess not. I know he was questionable going into the game tonight. And, you know, actually had a really good game against the Bulls, and they wound up winning. He looked really good. You know, he had a lot of great post moves tonight. Got a few alley hoops in. And he was really just abusing the Bulls in the paint tonight. So I guess not. I would still like to see him be in a little bit better shape. And so I know at this point that's probably going to have to be something he's going to really work on in his off season. You know, work on his conditioning, getting in a little bit better shape. But you know, I guess the toe injury wasn't that big of a deal because tonight he actually looked really good. I think he ended the game with 21 points. They were beating the Bulls by quite a bit in the fourth quarter, so he came out kind of early. But I don't think he had a double-double, but he's gotten quite a few double-doubles. But he looked really good and a lot of great post-up moves on tonight. So I guess that was a mute point.
I'm going to always worry about his stat line
for tonight.
Joker.
21 points, 4 rebounds, and 1 assist. The team was a plus 11 with him on the floor tonight.
Nice.
Yeah, my only concern with him is that the fact that he's putting so much pressure on his joints, on those legs, on those knees, those ankles, those feet, those toes, because, I mean, he just is a flat-out high riser. He's super athletic and he gets up, but at that frame, that jumping and landing, jumping and landing, jumping and landing, is it going to take any, you know, a toll on that lower body at the weight that he's playing at? So I'm with you, Rob. Can he find that happy medium, excuse me, to keep that size where he can still, you know, bulldoze people but not put so much pressure on his joints? It's going to be hard for him to do. He's going to have to find it. But, I mean, but his athleticism, man, oh, my gosh, it's off the charts. So, you know, he's exciting to see play, but that's my only concern is that piece of it. Can he keep that lower body healthy at that weight?
Yep. All right. Keeping this moving here. And we got to talk about I'm really excited about talking about we got 24 minutes here. I don't want to talk about the Lakers, what they need to do to improve. And I do want to talk about why the Rockets would trade Clint Capella. And then it's interesting because I know they got traded to the Hawks, and there's a couple of pieces for that. And I'm actually surprised that Andre Drummond got so little in his trade to Cleveland. I think they only gave up, like, two players in the second-round pick for Andre Drummond. I know that he was obviously he's kind of like a rental player this year because he's obviously has opportunity to opt out of that, you know, kind of he's a free agent. So maybe it has something to do with it. I know the Hawks were kind of looking at him earlier. So, again, I'm kind of curious as far as, you know, that particular move as well, too. So I'll let Rob kind of touch base a little bit. Well, I'll let Rob come after JQ and everybody talk about what the Lakers need to improve, if you will. And we'll talk about those other couple of deals as well. So go ahead, JQ.
Yeah, I mean, I know I try to touch on them briefly. The Lakers, to me, have an Anthony Davis problem. And you say, what are you talking about? Anthony Davis is an all-star. But the thing with Anthony Davis is he doesn't want to play the five. And that's why you have to go get McGee and Dwight Howard. If you can put Anthony Davis at the five and let LeBron play the four, and now you can slide Kuzma into the starting lineup at the three, I think that's their best bet going to start a game. And then you kind of mix and match time, you know, rest throughout a game, and then you finish with those guys. But when you have that issue where you can't put Kuzma out there and he's one of your younger players who has the ability to rebound and score, but he has to come off the bench because AD doesn't want to play the five, then, you know, it's going to hamstring them. I don't know if they're going to come to a point, you know, in the playoffs where they say, hey, we got to put all three out on the court together. I know you didn't want to do this for a whole season. But, you know, they're going to have to come to that realization, and they're going to have to be in the buyout market. They've been linked to Darren Collison if he comes back. We don't know who else is going to get bought out. You talked about Andrew Drummond. I didn't understand that we still have Tristan Thompson, and you didn't buy out Tristan Thompson. Yeah. You said you're not going to buy out Tristan Thompson. So why would you have those two guys? It's very redundant unless you're going to buy out Tristan, but they say they're not going to. For me, the 76ers, just the fact that they need some chemistry, man. Like, they got a lot of people with their own agendas on that team, and they got to find out a way to mesh and get it together. And for Clint Capella, the problem is that Russell Westbrook doesn't shoot threes. He needs space in the lane to drive to the basket. And with Clint Capella down there, he clogs up the lane for him. So what they're saying is we're going to stay all in on Westbrook and Harden. Harden can do anything he wants to do on the court. But Westbrook needs driving lanes. And if you got Capella kept that low, he's not a, you know, one of those big men right now that can go out and shoot the three-pointer, then he clogs up the lane. So they said, okay, we got to embrace this, you know, go back to our crazy Steve Nash Phoenix basketball, and they're embracing that. I don't know if that's going to work. I don't think it will. But I think they chose Russell Westbrook over Clint Capella. I think that's why they did it.
Crazy. That helped them out a lot. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, that's a really good point about Anthony Davis. Even the one really good year that Anthony Davis and the Pelicans had together where they went to the second round of the playoffs, you know, it was after DeMarcus Cousins went down where he had to play Anthony Davis at the five, and it was a matchup nightmare for the rest of the league. And we had a stretch four that year, too. I can't remember the guy's name.
Ryan Anderson?
No.
I think it was that European dude.
Yeah, it was the European guy. What was his name? We traded him to the Bucks last year. Yeah. But we had him as a stretch four, knocking down threes. You had AD playing center. And, of course, you had Rajon Rondo, and we moved Jrue Holiday over to the two. And, I mean, Anthony Davis just went on a monster tear that season after DeMarcus Cousins went down. And he was playing a five because he was a matchup nightmare for teams. He was able to take people off the dribble. And then if you had a smaller big. So that's a really good point. And I think what's going to have to eventually happen, even if you don't start him at the five, I think in a full quarter for the Lakers' sake, you got to play him at the five to cause that matchup nightmare for teams. Dwight Howard is not what he once was. JaVale McGee never what he never was what we thought he could be. So I mean, so you need Anthony Davis to play that five, especially in the full quarter and crunch time. Come playoffs. So I think that's a key element. But I think ultimately, though, if Anthony Davis and LeBron James are both dominating, the Lakers are going to be tough to beat, and probably the only team in the West that probably will be able to compete with them is the Clippers if they are both playing at a dominating level. But I do think that's a really good point, and that especially down the stretch. And I know what it is. You know, he don't want to, you know, take that beating on his body. But I think if you can just save them for the fourth quarter, especially in the playoffs, you know, that's going to be really key for them to take that next step. Then we talk about the 76ers. I think you hit it on there, too. It's chemistry and it's three-point shooting. They are lacking outside shooting on that basketball team, and they're also lacking chemistry. Now, they're getting Alex Burks from Golden State in the trade today. We'll see how much of an impact that he can have as far as outside shooting. You're talking about a guy that quietly was averaging about 16.1 points a game with Golden State this season. So he could possibly be a guy that come off the bench and give them some outside shooting, which they're desperately lacking right now, because we know Ben Simmons can't throw it in the ocean from a three-point range. So they're definitely lacking, and I think that's one area that they're lacking in here. And so we'll see what kind of an impact, even not a big-name trade, but he could possibly be a trade that could really help their ball club for what he brings to the table.
By Glenn Robinson the third.
Oh, yeah, Glenn Robinson the third, too. Yeah, they got Glenn Robinson the third, too. So we have to see what kind of chemistry that adds up for that ball club. It's good to see that they're not standing pat. And they definitely needed another outside shooter on their ball club. So they went out and got one, particularly in Alex Burks. So we'll see. You know, how much of an impact that has on them going forward. And then the last thing, Clint Capella. I'm scratching my head on that one. I mean, I still can't figure that one out for the life of me, why Houston would do something dumb and
stupid.
I agree. I mean, what are you going to put, P.J. Tucker on stilts?
Did you see that? That was hilarious.
I mean,
yeah,
come on.
He did that on yeah.
I mean,
yeah, that was hilarious.
And then I've been looking at, you know, even while we've been on the show, I'm here watching the Lakers and the Rockets game. I'm seeing them guarding Anthony Davis with Deflo Cephalosha.
I mean,
come on, they just throwing it over the top to Anthony Davis. I mean, the game's tied. Houston's competing with them, hanging in the game. But I just thought Capella added such a defensive presence for that team. He was a great rebounder, both offensive and defensively. And I just think that was a really dumb move. That is not going to help them come playoff time, not one bit. They think they're going to just beat teams with Russell Westbrook and James Harden beating people off the dribble. Yeah, they'll be competitive, but they're going to get killed in the trenches, and they're going to give up a lot of second chance points. So they're not going to be a defensive team. They're not going to be able to competitive, and I think this totally takes them out of contention for the Western Conference. And it says here, Lakers and Clippers, y'all fight for this bad boy because we're not in it no more.
Yeah.
Well, and that's what that's what Curtis said earlier tonight. Is it's really a two horse race, and I kind of agree with it. I mean, and what do the Lakers need? They don't really need anything. You know, they can win it all with Anthony Davis and that other guy. I can't remember his name.
They need a point guard. Rondo's old, bro. They need a point guard. They definitely need a point guard. That's why they are trying to play close attention to Eric Collison. If there's anything they want to point to, they've got the size, they got the superstars, but they got to have something. You saw what Dame did to them. They don't have anybody to stay in front of a quick point guard, and I don't know who they're going to match up with, but, you know, you're talking about a Lou Williams coming off the bench. They have nobody to stay in front of him. And I mean, I like Avery Bradley, but that ship, I think, is selling him being a 3-and-D kind of guy, unless he surprises me, and I hope that he does, but they need some point guard help to me.
Don't worry, Nick Van Exel's coming back. Nick the Quick coming back for you.
Shut up, not Nick Van Exel.
Nick the Quick.
Andre Drummond might be a bust, and I definitely don't like NBA guys that you can't have in the last quarters when they can't hit three throws, and they become a liability, the Hack-a-Shaq thing.
That's true. But he's
definitely this foolishness on TNT right now. Yeah, I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, what happened?
Rockets guarding the AD. They got it's like Will Chamberlain versus Sammy Davis Jr. in the ring.
Oh God!
This is crazy. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut y'all, Curtis. I just want to see if y'all saw that. That's hilarious.
No. You said it right. When you're scratching your head, and I think everybody in the NBA should be scratching their head. What are they doing in Houston? And why do they believe in Westbrook? Westbrook is – I don't believe in Westbrook. Westbrook can't take you to the championship. He can't get you in the championship. I don't believe that. So what did they do? They catered to him and, you know – they're going out in the first round. If they even make it to the playoffs, they may not.
Ooh.
And that will be a disaster. Philadelphia, who's the leader down there? And they have problems with, they think both their big boys, Embiid and Simmons, would rather be Hollywood movie stars than being basketball stars. And they that chemistry down there is horrible because them young cats are not focused. And there you go. They're in a lot of trouble in Philadelphia, which is terrible because they on paper look like they're a team that can compete. But if they can't get their heads around being a basketball guy instead of a movie star, then they're going straight down. And that's what I got. It's looking pretty bleak for the West and everybody else, and I'm talking about Denver, Utah, you know, that Nurkic in Denver, boy, he's something else. And
nice.
Even the Dallas, what they're doing down in Dallas is, looks really good, but boy, I don't think they have enough. And
I'm Luka Doncic, man. I need you healthy, man. You got to get back healthy for my fantasy team.
Yeah.
Priorities, Rob. All right. We're good call.
Damn,
good call.
Andrew,
all right. We got about 12 minutes here. Let's get to some fantasy shout-outs here, Rob.
All right, fantasy shout-outs for the week. Saints Pelicans 23 is Ronald from New Orleans. His team had the biggest win of the week with an 8-1 victory over I'm So Harden. JQ's team, Ohio players, still in first place with a 96-38-1 record. So congratulations to both of you all. And we're getting close to the stretch run, getting close to the All-Star break here. And see who's going to finish strong here in the fantasy basketball tournament.
Yeah, that damn nice. Andrew Drummond, you know, taking Tristan Thompson away from me did not make me happy when I watched it. I was sitting there like, why? Why would you trade for Andrew Drummond if you still got Tristan Thompson and you haven't traded him? What are you doing? I don't get that. So, that hurts me fantasy-wise. But I appreciate that. But I still got two killers coming behind me, so I ain't taking that for granted. It's going to be really, really interesting here in the playoffs.
Yep. I got to get my team healthy. I got about 5 or 6 guys hurt right now.
We got to add. That was a good call to add like some IR slots, man. Because again, you're trying to like keep players, but then you don't want to like totally like get rid of some.
Yeah.
There's got to be a way to make it a little better for that next year. So yeah, something
that might be something we can take into. Yeah, add 1 or 2 spots for IR. Yeah, that's definitely something we can make look at.
Or just a player that's hurt or something like or injured or something like that. All right, 11 minutes here. I do want to kind of recap the Super Bowl here, if you will, because, you know, obviously We can talk about that. We do want to talk about the latest on Dak Prescott's contract situation for Curtis and Gary. So I'll let you guys do the contract talk, and then we want to definitely recap the Super Bowl, how many wins Will Reed and Mahomes win, because right now, you know, Mahomes is a young guy, man. It's like only, what, 24, 25, if I'm not mistaken. Third year, just, you know, just a great game. I know everyone's pretty excited about that. So, Curtis and Gary, you guys can talk about the latest on the contract situation with Dak Prescott, and then we'll wrap up the Super Bowl, and maybe close to the show. Yeah, and yeah, as well. So go ahead, guys, about that.
Well, what I would say is if it were my team, I would definitely – I don't know. I'm kind of torn because I was looking at a odds on this if Tom Brady leaves the Patriots, where he would go, and Dallas was right up there. So if that were the case, I would say franchise him and go with Brady for a year, if that were the case.
What?
Hey, that's right. Hey, that's right.
Curtis rooting for
you
Tom
think Dak
Brown
is gonna go for that? That's gonna piss Dak off. Of.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's the way to go.
No,
well,
I don't think that's the way to go.
Well, hey, listen, $33 million is what the franchise tag is. If he, you know, if he wants to, you know, set out or protest or whatever, I don't think that's what's going to happen. But I'm saying if that were the scenario, that would be my only scenario. I'd want to franchise tag him. What I want to do is I want them to give him his deal, whatever that huge amount is, give him that deal and franchise tag Amari Cooper. That's what I would like to see the Cowboys do.
Wow.
The only other thing I do want to say is, you know, the 49ers were very happy losers. I saw them at that party, and, you know, the Super Bowl
night after
they lost. Yeah, and I'm like, I remember when I lost at different things. I was devastated. I couldn't imagine being on a Super Bowl team. I remember losing a national championship at something and being completely devastated. That's not a Super Bowl.
Right.
You know,
it's your Super Bowl, though.
It was my Super Bowl. Right.
Right.
And I was absolutely devastated. And to see all these guys happy to just lose the game and, you know, and life goes on, that doesn't seem to me like a team that is – really desperate and really, I'm in there. I'm wanting to figure out what I can do differently. Before I leave the floor, I'm wanting to try
right.
and figure some stuff out.
I agree. I think you're right.
To react to Gary, what he just said there. Okay. I mean, it's horrible to lose, but boy, you're in Miami, and like the mamacitas and all the fun going on. You know what they did? My synopsis of the game is that I think San Francisco was so scared defensively of getting burnt over the top of the speed of Kansas City, and I thought Sherman had a really good football game, but you can see that he was so afraid of Tyreek Hill was in a little bit of trouble there, and he's not the Sherman that was with the Seahawks and was picking on Crabtree and yelling at Aaron Andrews.
That's funny. This was a different cat.
The cheetah could get by him in an instant. And I think those guys in that defensive backfield were afraid of that. They didn't want to be shown out with dropping the bomb on those. But the surprise of the whole thing is how their defense And I'm hoping Rob will try to tell me a little bit about that defense came together in the last third of this season. And I remember a while ago during the football season, you told me that they made some adjustments from last year's defense that they thought that would help them out. And in the beginning of this season, I didn't see it. But at the end of this season, we saw a defense that could win a Super Bowl. And then in that dive bar I was in with 2 minutes, 2:14 I think it was, I'm yelling at the people in the bar, is Jimmy G, is he Tom Brady? Is he Tom Brady? And in that 2 minutes, I was able to say, Jimmy G, no Tom Brady.
Kyle Shanahan strikes again. That's what happened. I took San Francisco, and if you'd have told somebody that Kansas City only had 10 points with 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter, you think San Francisco wins that game going away. You hold that Kansas City offense is 10 points deep into the fourth quarter, and then you let them go on that run. But Kansas City can do that to you, and that's always the fear. But, man, for 3.5 quarters, you were doing everything you wanted to do. You held that offense to 10 points. And then, again, Kyle Shanahan, we're not going to run the ball. We're going to let Jimmy D be the dude. And it backfired again. I don't know what Kyle Shanahan does moving forward, bro. I don't know how he's going to get people to buy into him. And just to wrap it up, I think you're right about the Dallas situation. I think they're going to have to suck it up and say, this is the going rate for a quarterback. He's an 8-8 quarterback, but we said all along that he's our guy. You got to pay him, and you gave up a first-round pick for Amari Cooper. If you can't come up to the terms, you're going to have to franchise him, because we're talking about the Philadelphia Eagles want Amari Cooper, and the last thing you want is for him to go to Philadelphia and torment you twice a year.
You're right there.
Yep. Yeah, you're right. 10 points with 7 minutes to go in a game, and Kansas City winds up going 21 the rest of the game. I mean, yeah, and Mahomes just got hot at the right time. And, you know, looking at that game, it definitely was not Mahomes' best game. I mean, far from it. I mean, he didn't. He seemed to be a little shaky, maybe seemed to be a little bit nervous. And, you know, he's a young quarterback playing on a bigger stage. You know, and obviously 49ers probably getting some different looks and things of that nature. But, man, he got – I tell you, that 3rd-and-15 bomb he completed was the key of the game. But they were down 20-10 when he completed that pass. And, you know, you don't make that completion. Yeah, I don't know if they win that game. I know they win by 11 points. But I'm not sure they win that game if he don't make that completion. And that was just huge, that connection with that Tyreek Hill connection. Like I said, they just got hot. And the defense came alive in the fourth quarter. And they tried to put it in. And that's what we said all along. This was the game that Garoppolo was going to have to show you that he can win the game. And once again, he did not do it. And that's what it came down to. The team that had the better quarterback in the end was JQ, man. I tried to tell you to stick to your guns.
Pick
a quarterback.
The ball.
Told you that last week, huh?
They ran the ball. You got to the Super Bowl playing defense and running the ball. Then Kyle Shanahan says, you know what, Jimmy G, you go ahead and take us home. And it didn't happen. Like, it was working. They had a good, solid running game going. Debo on the reverses and running their zone reads. And they got away from it. I can't understand it.
Mm-mm. You got to go with the better quarterback in that situation.
I knew you was going to say that. Go ahead.
And I don't know why you're calling him Jimmy. It's Jimmy Guh. Remember?
I'm sorry. That's right.
Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you all for tuning in to another great edition with Talking Sports with the 12th Man. You recognize our closing music. We're going to be back to our Wednesday night schedule next week. Once again, it's going to be Wednesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You do not want to miss it. We look forward to having you on next Wednesday night. That's going to be 6 p.m. in Maui for our friends in Maui. It's going to be 6 p.m. for our friends in Honolulu. It's going to be 5 p.m. Make sure you're tuning in Wednesday night next week. We're getting ready to go into our OT portion. Unfortunately, we can't give you this portion of our show live. Click on the same link for the rest of the week. You'll get the rest of the show. Good night, people.
I need me a friend in Honolulu or Maui so I can get over there and take a show in that time. Hey, we appreciate y'all listening to the show. As always, we talk to y'all next week. Y'all be easy. Just saying, I need to go
that's
to Maui so I can do it on 6 p.m.
That's how you end it again.
6 p.m.
I need me a friend.
You might be on your commute from work at that time.
Hey, really quickly, I just wrap up. I wanted to let Rob talk briefly about his mock draft. And then, of course, Gary, you guys got a minute to wrap up your last thoughts. And then your last thoughts, JK, then we can wrap up the show, man. So everyone's been recouping from a crazy week. So go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, real quick. I mean, obviously, a couple of changes, a couple of trades. Obviously, still got Joe Burrow 1, still got Chase Young 2. And I know, you know, Washington is in a lot of conversation now with trying to move down because they have so many first-rounders already on defensive line. But I think that would be a mistake for them to pass up on a talent like Chase Young. So I still got them at the 2 spot. I got Miami trading up to 3, and it's not necessarily to jump a team that wants a quarterback, but it's to prevent other teams that want to trade up and get a quarterback. So I got Miami moving up to 3 to take Tua at the 3 spot now. And but Detroit moves down to 5, but still gets Jeff Okuda at the 5 spot. The Giants taking Andrew Thomas, offensive tackle from Georgia. Still got Justin Herbert going to the Chargers. A lot of word over Derek Brown could possibly move up into the top 5, but I still got him going to 7 to Carolina.
Wow.
Defensive tackle from Oregon. Just a few other highlights. I got Isaiah Simmons, linebacker from Clemson, going to Jacksonville at 9. CeeDee Lamb, wide receiver from Oklahoma to Cleveland. Jerry Jeudy, wide receiver from Alabama to the Jets. Javon Kinlaw, another player to watch, defensive tackle from South Carolina, going to Tampa at 14. Christian Fulton, cornerback LSU, got him going to Denver at 15. I had the Falcons taking another LSU player, Kalavon Chase on, edge rusher from LSU at 16. Detroit in the trade with Miami, they get Grant Delpit, safety from LSU at 18. Henry Ruggs gives Jacksonville another weapon. Wide receiver, have him going 20. And the big shocker, Jordan Love, quarterback, Utah State to New England at 23. It may not be to replace Tom Brady next year, but it may be the eventual replacement. And even another surprise, I got the Saints taking a running back, DeAndre Swift from Georgia. I personally think the Saints missed Mark Ingram last year. Latavius Murray was solid, but I really think they missed that 1-2 punch. And we saw Alvin Kamara's production even go down last year without having Ingram too. But DeAndre Swift can give him a power back with some explosion there as well. Got T. Higgins, wide receiver from Clemson, going 26. And you know, those are just some of the highlights from my latest first-round mock.
I hope Dobbins don't go to San Francisco. I can see
and
them doing that.
I guess
that,
we got a Cowboys fans on here. I got Cowboys taking A.J. Espinosa, the edge rusher from Iowa, 17.
That's the guy that we were targeting for the Falcons. But we'll see if they take your boy from LSU, too. So interesting to say the least, too. So, yeah.
Nice. Of course they do. I really like Jerry Jeudy to the Jets. You get Sam Darnold. He said, okay, I need to build around him. I mean, that fool, Aunt Robbie Anderson, is a free agent, I believe, and you just can't trust that dude. He's an idiot. I think he got caught with doing 120 miles an hour in his car. He had, arrested, 3 times in, 16 months. He's an idiot. So I like Jerry Jeudy going to the Jets for Sam Darnold. That gives him a nice little security blanket if you can get Le'Veon Bell to bounce back. Yeah, you know, it's not enough to take over Buffalo and New England in that division, but, you know, you got to start making positive steps. I think that would be a step in a good direction for the Jets.
I think the Jets are a team to watch next year. If you really paid attention to them toward the end of the year, mm-hmm. I mean, they were playing some really good football. I know maybe in the last 7-8 games they kind of had a winning record to finish the year. So, and then games that they lost, they were real competitive. I think they're a team to watch if they can make the right improvements on that team. You know, Sam Darnold even showed some progression when he came back from that illness. I definitely think their team to watch. I really do.
Kissing disease.
And especially with the way New England finished the year, 4-4 in the last 8 games, you know, how much longer they're going to dominate the division. I think they're a team to definitely watch going into next season.
Mm-hmm. You have Buffalo taking edge rusher. I think all the wide receivers, maybe T. Higgins, because I mean they got a lot of short dudes, and what is it, Ross and Beasley. They need somebody big that can go be physical and get down the field. I think Higgins would be a good get for them. That defense is already pretty solid, but you can never have enough good defensive players. So I'm with you on that. But I think that's another one that's interesting, because if you're Buffalo and you're watching, you know, Miami beat New England with a chance to get a bye, you're looking at a chink in the armor in New England. If you're Buffalo, given the fact that you have made the progress that you've made, you got to be thinking our time is coming pretty soon. So they're going to also be interesting to watch.
Yeah, right now I got T. Higgins going to Miami at number 26. And that could be, that's a good call on Buffalo, too. Obviously, you can never have enough good pass rushers as well. But, yeah, that could be a good fit for Buffalo as well. Obviously, Miami could use desperately need almost everything. So if they can get a weapon and get Tua as well in this draft, that could be a good start for getting that offense going in the right direction too.
True.
Nice. All right, Curtis and Gary, wrap this up real quick, guys. What you got?
Curtis, what do you got?
Well, the first thing I'm going to say, if nobody knows and over the radio waves, next year's Super Bowl is going to be in Tampa, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's going to be in Tampa. And I do know that the NFL is working on how to do that better than they did in Miami with the ride share and some of the other problems they ran into in the Miami. But, I mean, it was the epicenter of what felt like the whole world descended on Miami. Lady Gaga was $1,000 for getting her party.
Jeez.
The Maxim party was $900.
Pocket change for you.
I could have went to Lady Gaga's party, but I wouldn't know what I was going to get into with Lady Gaga. She might have been wearing a meat dress. And, probably be a little bit of a problem for me. The Maxim party was 900. Yeah,
the Maxim party is the one you should hit.
Yeah, that Maxim party was the one I should have been. Yeah. But, so I want to mention that being in Tampa.
For the weekend, too.
Some of the things with the fans, of big-time football fans, and the Kansas City people were the most people down on South Beach. They weren't like, now the big difference on South Beach from when I went to the Super Bowl in Miami in 2010, of the from 5th to 25th Ocean Drive, when I was down there for the Hudak Nation had from 5th to 21 packed and flag staff, and you wasn't in no doubt that you were in Hudak Nation.
Oh, it was 90 to 10.
Then
I was there that year. It was for every 100 people, it was 90 Saints fans to the Coach 10.
The Coach only had like 3 blocks of Ocean Drive, and Hudak Nation had it all. You didn't see that this year. This year, there was more Kansas City fans, but it wasn't like what happened when New Orleans was there. It was hit and miss. I would say that the Kansas City fans with their flag in the ground had maybe 6 blocks, and maybe the San Francisco fans may have had 4 blocks of that. And then it was just everybody else. The other thing that I saw down there,
that's surprising,
because
the 49ers fans, they travel. I mean, they got fans all over the country. That's a little surprising.
That's what I thought, too. But the Kansas City fans beat them. And I met a guy that was a San Francisco fan that his thing, and I got to research this, and he came up with whoever fans are the closest to the venue where the Super Bowl is usually the winner of the Super Bowl. He has that theory that whatever the fan base is closest to the venue, they end up winning the Super Bowl. And he, mentioned that being this one, the Kansas City fans were closer than the San Francisco fans.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So Yeah, and then I got some takes. Okay, I'm going to say this. There's a good chance that we're going to see Mahomes in Kansas City being more and more Super Bowls, kind of like we saw with the Patriots. And I say that because their division they're in. Denver is probably not ready, which saddens me. The Raiders are not ready. That saddens me. And the Chargers are not ready. That saddens me. And I'm saying for San Francisco, and I was telling the fans down there in Miami, you guys were just a different hand. If that ball would have been in a different hand up in Seattle, y'all's whole story of being in the Super Bowl would have probably been over. And what I see in San Francisco, I see Russell Wilson winning that division maybe two more times before he's done. And I'm not counting out L.A. once they figure out how they're going to get past Todd Gurley and instead of tiptoeing around that top Gurley thing. I think they still can, you know, and San Francisco's don't got no easy match there. And Kyler Murray, who I actually saw, and I'm thinking he's the real deal in Arizona, is going to do whatever they can do to, you know, San Francisco does not have the same kind of path to get back to the Super Bowl that the Kansas City Chiefs have.
Right. Yeah.
Well, the one thing I wanted to say is, you know, the effort there at the end of the game that you saw Mahomes, you know, and bringing his team back and, you know, and all the points and, you know, everything that entails doesn't even compare to my Super Bowl MVP. My Super Bowl MVP is on this show tonight. Curtis McDaniels is my Super Bowl MVP. For him to be able to go down there, fly by himself, get around by himself, the struggles that he had to go through to do all that, to get ready in the morning, to prepare himself, to go down to the stadiums and negotiate for tickets and to get on different shows. And there were shows he couldn't get on because of challenges with the stairs and things like that because no one was with him. But Curtis is my Super Bowl MVP. That's what I want to end with.
I thank you, Gary. I thank you. And I'm going to say this to you guys. You know, it was really good for me in this situation I'm in to get that excited. To get that excited about the Super Bowl, to get that excited about being in Miami. The fact that the Super Bowl was in Miami got my juices flowing, got me excited about taking on that struggle and doing what I did. And it was worth it for me, and it was a really good thing for my situation to be that is, you know, to have that kind of excitement to do that struggle. And I'm happy I did it.
Yeah, I'm proud of you, man. Yep. Cool. All right, gentlemen. That's how you wrap it up. And again, we appreciate you guys. JQ, get some rest, bro. Please be well. Then you will get some sleep and wake up. No, it's that. Gentlemen, again, what a great wrap up. Be safe with your travels this week, obviously for me as well. I'll be back in the A tomorrow. So, again, much love for you guys.
Yes,
and, again, wrap it up. We'll see you guys. We'll talk next week.
Well, before you wrap it up, I like what Kelsey did with the poo.
That's funny.
What was that? The poo. And the can of whoop ass he came out with. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Boy, that was he tickled me to death down there. I was tickled this morning watching that.
Yep. Good call. All right, gentlemen, let's get some rest, man. Have some, enjoy. Talk to you guys next week.
Ladies and gentlemen, next Tuesday, I'm sorry, next Wednesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 p.m. Pacific. Don't forget, next week, write us. Let us know if you're enjoying the show. Facebook, Twitter, we would love to hear from you all. Curtis, stay strong, my brother. Keep fighting, my man. We will see you all next week.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Y'all have a good
week. Have a good week. Get back.